or sand or some fine particles. And the intention was to see what was the effect of sound on matter. Fast forward, he spent 30 years, and he was a statistician type of person, so he kept careful documentation. And the result is material sound, you know, like Coca-Cola, a Sri Mandala. A Sri Mandala is a two-dimensional depiction of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. And then he would change and make a different sound, and that mandala would disappear in something else. And then back to chanting Om. He had to have somebody that knew how to chant properly. And then again, it would form. Mandala is a geometric pattern that's organized. And not just Sri Vaishnavas. It means, you know, it's a depiction. Just like in there's a picture of the Nrisimha deity that's in Mayapur. And if you notice carefully when you go next time to Mayapur, take notice of the photos. In the front, on the left side and the right side, there's a brass plate. And the brass plate is a Nrisimha mandala. And the mandala is specifically, it's part of the puja, and it's a two-dimensional depiction of the abode of Lord Nrisimhadeva. If you read carefully, I don't want to go too far with this, but if you read carefully Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's very elevated depiction in Sri Brahma Samhita of meditation upon a yantra, have you ever wondered what that's all about? That's what it is. It's a yantra, is this mandala. It's what Brahma did, or in the mind, meditation upon his mantra and the yantra. The yantra is the spiritual world. So back to the tonoscope. It makes this Sri mandala, or you make it into a brass plate, it's a Sri yantra. It's the spiritual world. So if you really want to know who Krishna is, serve the name and take prasadam. And then Krishna will reveal himself, because that sound is non-different than the person. So, nama rupa and swa rupa. Swa rupa is his form. And nama rupa is his form in sound, or the name syllables. The form of the name syllables. It was in the song we heard and sang together. So there's a deity, the archa vigraha, the archa form. And how to approach, but worship of the deity is incomplete without the name. Read Jiva Goswami's writings carefully and Rupa Goswami's writings carefully, and you'll find incomplete. Incomplete. And the name is to be accompanied by Hari Lila. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but it's in one of the purports that we'll be reading so shortly. The name, just like we don't worship Krishna independently, this is Bhaktisiddhanta. We don't worship Krishna independently, we worship Radha Krishna. So similarly, we don't just chant the name, we hear Hari Lila or Krishna Katha, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Then it's complete. You'll hear it. I'll make mention of it as we read from Prabhupada's purports. So this image, could we turn the lights down? This image here is something I like, and I've gotten feedback from people. This really stuck with them during the 64-round day, because the distraction is we're looking over here. we're looking at the reflection of the transcendental world. That's what distraction is. Asat, Krishna. Asat means impermanent. Sat means permanent or eternal or the spiritual abode of Krishna. Satchitananda vigraha, sat. Distraction is the bottom one, and notice there's ripples. So that's like, you know, distorted, perverted reflection of reality. And our message yesterday was, there was some remarks about the living entity is both conscious and consciousness. So there's an image that helps us understand the yoga ladder, or this is a staircase. All systems of yoga have a process of meditation. This is repeating from yesterday. And what's the goal? There's the goal, to connect with Krishna. It's to see that the reality of the spiritual world. We're distracted, but we want to become attracted, and we heard something yesterday evening about intention powers attention, so we can be attentive to the name rather than distracted by the reflection or the temporary. This is a philosophical explanation, but it's also inspirational. If we hear from the heart, if there's some alignment between our ear and our heart, then we can connect with Krishna. And the connection with Krishna is this anandam buddhivardhanam. We heard something about the message from last year's japa retreat, the seven excellences of the holy name, or the first Shikshastaka verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that culminates in prema. That's the taste. So finally, the review point is there's an obstacle for that taste. That obstacle is avidya, or ignorance. Rupa Goswami's teaching is, although we don't have a taste, there's some special potency in this name that is the medicine that cures avidya. And then one can taste the sweetness of the name. Awakening Namarasa. So how to serve the name? Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Muki Hi Jivadao. When you do service to the name, the mood of service awakens the service to Krishna. It's dormant. We all have an eternal relationship. This is our philosophy. We all have an eternal relationship with Krishna. But we've forgotten. It's there. It's dormant. And it needs to be awakened. So Prabhupada has given us this very simple definition of what does the Maha Mantra mean? Oh, Radharani. Oh, internal potency of Krishna. Please engage me in Krishna's service. So we're approaching that mood through the name. That's the doorway, or the feature of Krishna that's readily accessible, even though we're very tiny, we're quite insignificant, we're very covered, we have no qualification, we have lots of disqualification, and Krishna is merciful anyways. Just open the heart. And in the mood of serving the name, the mood of serving Krishna becomes stronger and stronger. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayatiyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam. Knowledge causelessly arises, that destroys the ignorance of avidya that then can give us the taste. So there's the message from yesterday summarized. Serve the name. One other thing. Sankalpa. Mentioning again, this is like, you hear it, when you hear things repeatedly, it's like, okay, that's important. Guru Bhakti Mataji is going to help us understand and develop a little sankalpa for ourselves this evening for the 64 round day, but you can give some thought to it now of intention, or my focus is going to be, I'll tell you what my focus is going to be. I don't mind sharing. Serve the name. Go deeper into the mood of serving, because we're all serving the name. Whatever it is that we do, it's a byproduct of the name and our connection with the name. So deepen the mood of service to the name. That's going to be my sankalpa. Krishna, please help me. So there's effort and mercy. But the effort is serve the name, and Krishna, please be merciful because I'm distracted. Please accept me. Okay, so this morning's class, again, for those that you were not with us, we were focusing on one text, number 7, a verse from Rupa Goswami's Upadesh Amrita. Prabhupada's translation is Nectar of Instruction, and it's text number 7. Yesterday we heard about the avidya that covers the tongue, so we can't taste the sweetness of the name, although the name is like sugar candy. Now the emphasis here is Adarad. That's what's bold and underlined. So let's chant the verse together again. Maybe by the end you'll have memorized this. It's a nice one. Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapya Vidya Pito Patapta Rasanasya Narochikano Kintvadarad Anudinam Kalu Saiva Jushta Svadvikamad Bhavatitad Gurumulahantri. Translation: the holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So our focus now is going to be on what does carefully chanting mean? How do we do it? We spend some time, the why, and then this is in a what category. Excuse me, how? So, carefully chanting. As some of you may know, I know some of you more than know, you've attended Sachinandan Swami's and Burijan Prabhu's Japa retreat that's been going on for quite some time. Recently, he was invited to go to New Vrindavan during Mother's Day weekend for a special japa retreat, or I don't know exactly, mantra meditation workshop or something like that. So afterwards, those that attended received 2 PDFs, and Sachinanda Swami has a talented artist disciple, I believe, that this is one of the illustrations from that PDF. It shows this Anandam Bodhivardhanam. It's an ocean that has waves of Ananda. And if you see carefully, the holy name is strung in these waves. This is to enter into this taste for the holy name with the Ananda Ambudi, the ocean of Ananda, ocean of happiness, transcendental happiness. In those PDFs, I'm now going to share with you some of what he presented. He, after decades of absorption in presenting and teaching and training and personal experience of going more deeply into this ocean of rasa, he expressed that there's five main steps or elements. The first, he uses this term yojana. It comes from the dhatu or verbal root yuj, which is the same as yoga. So alignment of body, mind, and heart. That's a whole segment of how to go more deeply, how to chant carefully. The second is sambandha, or chanting with a sense of relationship, entering into our relationship with Krishna through the name and establishing that relationship. Seva, this is something that we spoke about yesterday evening and reminded you all this morning. Chanting in the mood of service, very important. And vipralambha, or the right mood. Vipralambha means a mood of separation. So when we, anyone who has seriously, sincerely tried earnestly to chant the holy name attentively finds, I can't do it. Mind is distracted. But I want. And so I want that connection. That connection is the connection of service to the name. So then this mood is wanting to be connected but feeling not so connected, like I know I want to be and should be and could be and it's available. So it's humility, feeling vipralambha, separation from our Lord and Master, our eternal lovable object, Krishna. And sharanagati, finally. So he covered all these points in a summary way in New Vrindavan. So we're going to be focusing chanting carefully. And one of the references that the chanting carefully message is found in the Uddhava Gita section, naturally. Krishna speaking to Uddhava, giving robust instruction, detailed instructions, and naturally there's some instruction about the chanting of the name. And you can take note of the reference if you like. It's in Uddhava Gita. Here's the translation of 11.11.47. One who has executed sacrificial performances and pious works for my satisfaction, and who thus worships me with fixed attention, obtains unflinching devotional service unto me by the excellent quality of his service. Such a worshiper obtains realized knowledge of me. Quite similar to, you can know who Krishna really is by the service to the name. So I'm going to read, it's a short purport, so listen carefully. The word ishta putrena, that's in the words of Krishna, which means sacrificial performances and pious works, does not indicate deviation from pure devotional service of the Lord. There's different sacrifices, and the primary sacrifice for this age, of course, is Nama Yajna, Lord Krishna or Vishnu is called Yajna, or the Lord of Sacrifice, and in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Lord Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam, I am the actual enjoyer of all sacrifices, including japa and sankirtan. Krishna is the enjoyer. We're serving him through the name. He's present through the name, in his name. He's fully present, and we're serving him. That's the sacrifice. He's the enjoyer. The highest sacrifice is to chant the holy names of the Lord, and by taking shelter of the Lord's names, one will acquire unflinching devotion and realize knowledge of the absolute truth. A realized devotee is very attentive in his devotional service, taking it as his life and soul. He keeps himself fit for devotional service. This is the carefully chanting message. He keeps himself fit for devotional service by constantly worshiping and glorifying the lotus feet of the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead. Such Harinam Kirtan and Guru Puja are the only practical methods by which one can achieve pure devotional service. When Hari Kirtan is expanded, it is called Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Sankirtan. One should not dry up by performing unauthorized austerities or sacrifices. Rather, one should engage with all enthusiasm in the great sacrifice of Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which enables one to easily achieve the highest perfection of human life. Carefully chanting, it's the means through the ear to cure our disease and, using this image here, unlock our relationship with Krishna through attentively, or striving to attentively, chant the holy name. On the left side of this image, that's Srila Prabhupada. And following Srila Prabhupada is what we're trying to do. It's our lives in ISKCON. I'm thinking of a little story. Maybe some of you have read Jamuna's Life of Pure Devotion, I think is the title. Someone shared with me, I didn't read the whole book myself, but someone shared with me a really interesting section. Jamuna was on a morning walk with Prabhupada, and it was in London, and there was dew on the ground, just like in the front lobby, it's completely wet, just from humidity. So watch your step because it's slippery. So as they were walking, Jamuna had shared, she was thinking, following in the footsteps of my spiritual master. This is the life of devotion. That was her heart, of course, but then physically she was following in his footsteps. But she noticed, as she was looking to follow exactly where he put his feet, although the grass was wet with dew, there was no mark where he put his feet in the grass. The dewy, wet grass. So she asked Prabhupada, I don't see the marks of your feet in the wet grass. And Prabhupada said, one day you will understand. Following in the footsteps doesn't mean instant aha. It's a way of life. It's a cultivation. Bhakti is a sort of cultivation. We follow because in Prabhupada we trust. There's faith in a pure representative. And those who are strict followers, they're also good conduits for that mercy, the mercy of Krishna, entrance into this carefully chanting zone. Under the instruction, when we carefully chant, we get mercy. And from the ocean of material existence, which we, due to our distracted condition, can't extricate ourselves. We're lifted by the power of the name through the mercy of the disciplic succession and the instruction to do our chanting carefully. And ultimately, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, the gift of Braja Prem. Like, who are we? Humility is a good quality to go more deeply into. Who are we for this gift that he wants to give? We're unqualified. He wants to give it anyway. Open the heart and receive it. And that receiving, here's that image again, it's through the ear. Start with hearing, shravanam, in the right mood. And kirtanam, carefully chanting. So, one of the sessions coming up today, again, Guru Bhakti is going to lead you in this discussion, and that is hearing the first name. You'll have a nice experience, I'm sure. Because if you're going to carefully chant, you have to hear. So, here's a little tip. If you find sometimes your mind is distracted when chanting, there's a way to trick the mind with that. Try to pronounce clearly. And when you try to pronounce clearly, you have to hear to know whether you're chanting clearly, pronouncing clearly. The mind becomes captured. We're going to hear Bhakti Siddhanta explain it later. Once upon a time I had more discretionary time. Now I don't have much. But when I had more, one of the things that I did for different devotees was I requested them, make a recording of your chanting. Practice for 2 weeks, knowing that someone's going to listen to your chanting, and it's going to be me. Practice. And then, after practicing, make a recording. You know, for 2 rounds. And I'll listen to it, and I'll critique it. And so, a number of devotees did this, and they said, best chanting I've ever done. Because they knew someone was going to listen. But guess who? Krishna's listening. But we're not Krishna conscious, so we're not thinking Krishna is listening. And even we're not listening. But if you listen, then you carefully chant. And my experience was, it was just a recording, but I could easily tell when the chanting was done carefully and when they were distracted, just by the quality of the sound vibration. That means Krishna knows too. So carefully chanting is to help us connect. So the ear can conquer the mind. Yay! Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. There's emphasis in this purport. The shelter, receiving the mercy of the spiritual master, these two things, the lotus feet of the spiritual master and service to Krishna, that comes through descending mercy. So when we're engaged in chanting, of course this is for Prabhupada's disciples, but your spiritual master connected to Prabhupada, etc. That's our link. The disciplic succession is the link. And very mercifully, Srila Prabhupada would engage people in connecting to Krishna by formal diksha, but instructions properly followed lead, bhajana kriya, leads to this formal connection with the disciplic succession. We spent some time yesterday with this word attentiveness. And attentive chanting is driven by intentional chanting. So this is also carefully chanting. It's nearly synonymous. The intention to connect with Krishna, revive our relationship with Krishna that's forgotten, that's carefully chanting. Every mantra that we chant is sacred. Every syllable of that sacred mantra is sacred. We're given, although we're unqualified, we're given the opportunity to connect with Krishna, provided we're striving to be connected to Krishna. That's the attentiveness. The opportunity is being provided very, very mercifully. Now, just something that supports all this. Supposing people have faith in Krishna. A little sharing. Once upon a time, I was in an airplane. And it was travel from Chicago to New York. And on the airplane, half of the airplane was Jehovah's Witnesses, because they were going to their place of pilgrimage, Brooklyn, because they sold those buildings, but previously in downtown Brooklyn, they had like 16 buildings that was the printing of the Jehovah's Witnesses material for the whole world. So they were going on pilgrimage to Mecca, Brooklyn. And I was dressed like this, and I saw, after the plane took off, they were talking amongst one another and looking at me, and talking amongst another and looking at me, and I knew what that meant. They were going to save me. I was going to get saved. So the leader of the group stood up and came over and said, "There's no one in the seat next to you. Do you mind if I join you for a little while?" Sure, I'm going to get saved. I knew it. That the energy was there, etc. So he said, were you born in this religion? I said, no. What persuaded you to become part of this religion? And I hadn't thought about it, but I just said immediately, three things. Of all the spiritual literature that I read, I found the Bhagavad Gita answered more of my questions than anything else, including the Bible. And he said, And I said, the second thing, of all the different things, because there was a period during my college days I was exploring the spiritual marketplace and see what was out there, I found this Hare Krishna mantra had most profound effect in spiritualizing my consciousness than anything else. And he said, And he said, the third thing was, I found a perfect person, my spiritual master, and I've given my life to him. And he said, Well, it's been nice talking with you. And I was a hopeless case. So one who has such strong shelter, they cannot be broken. So here's a little message from Lord Macaulay. It goes way back, 1835. Lord Macaulay was sent from England to go visit India and see how to help colonize India. So he made his report before the British Parliament. And here's the report. I have traveled across the length and breadth of India and have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country. Such high moral values. People of such caliber that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture. For if the Indians think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated nation. So, Krishna culture. And it's not just, you know, the warehouse that was over here for some years. Krishna culture. It's not just Bharatanatyam dancing. It's a way of life. A way of life that's deeply seated within, and it can't be changed. The bottom of the iceberg kind of metaphor. Something that's not circumstantial, something that's in the core of your being. So this core of your being principle is assisted, as it's underlined here specifically, the education system. The education system is based on sound. So along with the name is Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, which we want people to chant the name. We want people to take the message of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and bring it inside. And then one can awaken the dormant mood of service that is our relationship with Krishna and know who Krishna really is. In the purport that we read, there's this message of keeping the lotus feet of the spiritual master and Krishna in one's heart. Now, Krishna is already in our heart. But somehow we have forgotten. So, keeping means this remembrance of Krishna within the heart. And the medium for that remembrance of Krishna is the disciplic succession, the spiritual master. And his feet are luminous. They light up our lives. And when our lives become lit up, we become bright-faced, using Prabhupada's phrase. He would say, people remark, your students are bright-faced. How is that? And it's the awakening of the lotus feet of Krishna and the spiritual master within one's heart. And so we become attracted gradually to Krishna's lotus feet, and the spiritual master is taking us to Krishna's lotus feet, and therefore his lotus feet, just like this example of Jamuna, someday we'll understand. But his position, his transcendental position, is very, very special. It's a means to access the name properly. I'll tell another story. Got to be careful telling stories. Some of you know Kaladri Prabhu. Kaladri Prabhu lives in Pittsburgh, and during some period of time he was the president in New Vrindavan during Prabhupada's life. And he shared, I've heard this story several times, he had this inspiration, because in New Vrindavan they had artists that were really creative and good. So he took to Vrindavan some clay, soft clay, really soft clay, and requested Srila Prabhupada on the spot, would you be willing, we know this procedure in New Vrindavan, how to make molds, and could I place your feet in this clay so we can have impressions of your feet? Prabhupada approved. So he lovingly describes one after the next. He took Srila Prabhupada's feet in his hands and pushed his feet down in the soft clay and felt ecstasy. And then the other foot in the soft clay, side by side, made an impression in the clay. And there we have, on the Vyasasan, beneath the Vyasasan, is the result of that effort of Srila Prabhupada, of Bhakti, of Kaladri Prabhu, giving us, even today, this opportunity to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. We can do that through sound, but the sound has to be taken within, just like by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada writes in 7th canto, one can understand the mode of devotional service. Prabhupada's words. How do you take shelter of the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj? Like Satya Yuga. How do you find his feet? It's in his instructions. We can take shelter of the instructions of Prahlad and that thereby take shelter of his lotus feet. We have to take the instructions inside. That's taking shelter of the lotus feet. And then you have your feet, you have the person. But it's the mood of service. And keep the lotus feet of the spiritual master, Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna, within your heart, the mood of service. Mentioned in the purport, I'm almost done, is this importance of enthusiasm. It's certainly one of Rupa Goswami's foremost teachings. Shadbir Bhaktir Prasidhyati. It starts with Utsahan. It all starts with enthusiasm. Connecting with the right source, but with enthusiasm. And it's essential for manifesting real bhakti. One of the examples is the example of a duck. You've heard this one, the duck that quacks the loudest gets the bread. For those of you that haven't heard it, here's a Prabhupada story. In New York, I heard this, he did the same thing in London. But in New York, one of the places we went to was Battery Park in Brooklyn. And we were walking along, a walkway through the park. And over there was a pond. So Prabhupada saw the pond, his head tilted up, and he went over off the walkway to the pond. And there were some ducks in the pond. And they went, wah, 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 and came swimming over. So Prabhupada looked at the devotees and said, does anyone have any prasadam? And somebody had some prasadam, and he said, feed the ducks. And smiled and walked away back to the walkway and then stopped and said, what lesson have we learned today? Everyone like, huh? And he said, he looked at us and said, the duck that quacks the loudest gets the bread. And then went on. So enthusiasm. Not just wah, wah, but Krishna. With enthusiasm to connect with Krishna. To want to be Krishna connected. That's this conscious and consciousness message again. Connect our consciousness with Krishna. Extend our consciousness with the intention, the sankalpa, of connecting with Krishna in the mood of serving Krishna. Krishna, please engage me in your service. Radha, please be merciful and engage me in Krishna's service. With enthusiasm. No, complacency isn't going to, it's slow. It's not zero, but it's slow, complacency. And you are inviting Maya by complacency. So watch out. But enthusiasm. So how do you maintain enthusiasm? Associate with those that are enthusiastic. Come and attend this session and take it with you, with your sankalpa, after the session is over, not just tomorrow. It will carry you. finally, there's a very nice long purport about chanting that's in Canto 2, Chapter 2. Now, those of you that are familiar with the structure of the Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, is speaking specifically about the Paramatma meditation stage of coming to bhakti. And, of course, naturally, Srila Prabhupada is speaking then about the bhakti principle, not just meditation on Paramatma. So in that section of the purport, he speaks about this metaphor of gardening. So here's, I'm just going to read, it's a short paragraph out of a long purport. When we speak of hearing and chanting, it means that not only should you chant and hear the holy name of Lord Krishna and Lord Rama, but one should also read and hear the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. That's this. Harikatha makes the chanting of the name complete. So we want both. Some are more attracted to this, some are more attracted to that. That's just fine. Both are needed. Otherwise it's incomplete. The primary practice of bhakti yoga will cause the seed already sowed in the heart to sprout, and by regular watering process, as mentioned above, the bhakti yoga creeper will begin to grow. By systematic nurturing, the creeper will grow to such an extent that it will penetrate the coverings of the universe, as we have heard in the previous verses, reach the effulgent sky, the Brahmajyoti, and go farther and farther and reach the spiritual sky where there are innumerable spiritual planets called Vaikuntha Lokas, etc., and Krishna Loka. So this systematic nurturing is the same as carefully chanting. And we find this metaphor expressed in different places. One of them is in Harinam Chintamani, that's a discussion between Lord Chaitanya on Our Bright and Haridas Thakur on the chanting of the holy name. It's a book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he uses the same gardening metaphor. It's found in Chaitanya Charitamrita as well. That's this taking shelter, just like the dependent child pictured on our left and the affectionate father. So Krishna's like that. He's very affectionate. Who are we? We're insignificant. That's okay. Krishna's affectionate. It's his nature. And if we simply turn to him and feel this sense of dependence upon him, make an effort for attentive chanting, but feel dependent upon him, he'll help. And then the taste, some emotion connected with the name awakens in the heart. It's just natural. We find the same metaphor in Chaitanya Charitamrita, connected with the Gundicha Marjana. It's a long purport, very beautiful purport. Prabhupada is quoting Bhaktisiddhanta, explaining the same gardening metaphor. The systematic nurturing includes Chaita Darpana Marjanam, the cleansing. We have to be careful when we chant. Not just chant, not mechanical chanting, but careful chanting. The careful chanting will show you where your distractions are. So then you bring the mind back and you take shelter, because we can't do it alone. We require descending mercy for this careful chanting. And that's the anarcha-nivritti stage. focus goes to careful chanting, not focus goes to eradication of anarthas. I'll say the same thing in a different way. We're not the International Society for Anartha Consciousness or the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And by cultivation of Krishna consciousness, we get awareness of stuff that's inside that doesn't belong there, that we didn't even know it was there. You know, it's one of the stages of bhakti. Oh my gosh. Look at this. I don't want to look at it. I didn't know that stuff was there before. We all have that experience. And it's like, whoa. But, you know, so don't just become anartha conscious, become Krishna conscious. That will carry you beyond. That's the anartha vritti. Vajana kriya is the horse, and it pulls the cart, the anartha vritti cart, vajana kriya. And so consciously we eradicate stuff that doesn't belong there, but that the strength is not the eradication. The strength is the chanting. That's this gardening metaphor. We receive the seed and we systematically nurture, in Prabhupada's words, through sound, carefully chanting. One of the obstacles from Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti is Prabhupada's translation of this word separatist. That's not a complementary term, separatist. But it's bhakti that's in the lower modes. It's Prabhupada's translation of one who sees his interest is separate from that of the Supreme Lord. That's his definition, quote unquote, of a separatist. So the words in Sanskrit are bhinna, drik, and pratak, bhava. This is devotional service in ignorance, devotional service in passion. The interest is separate from Krishna's interest. So alignment is to bring our interest or our intention to the pleasure of Krishna, including the chanting of the name is the pleasure of Krishna. It's not just my liberation from my misery. I mean, that happens too. That's a byproduct. But Krishna's pleasure is everything. Tomorrow when we're conducting our 64 round day, we'll have Tulsi Devi available. This is also in this purport. Tulsi Devi is the liver of mercy of the holy name. So if you want Nama Prabhu's mercy, Tulsi Devi, go to her. And just like Haridas Thakur engaged in chanting with Tulsi Devi, he engaged the prostitute, here's stay by Tulsi and chant. The same Magari was given the same instruction. Practice devotional service, plant a Tulsi and worship Tulsi. He became very elevated by the mercy of Narada. So this systematic nurturing phrase and careful chanting, you can't separate the two. So this is our final slide here. The practical application, well, that will, you'll have the opportunity under Guru Bhakti's guidance to establish a sankalpa or the application of your careful chanting efforts. We need mercy, we need effort, both things. And the result, it's the elevation to Krishna. That's the goal. Connect with Krishna. Bhakti yoga. Last message. This is something I heard from Sachinandan Swami. It's a nice message. It may be useful for you tomorrow. In the back of our Bhagavad Gita, there are some words of appreciation by Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau. They were advocates of They were called transcendental poets. I was sharing this once at a college, and one girl, wow, they're one of my favorite poets. I said, I didn't know people read that stuff anymore, because how do you get money from reading Thoreau and Emerson? But, they really liked it. So what's a transcendental poet anyways? It's appreciating what's beyond the temporary. That's what's transcendental. The spiritual realm that you can't access otherwise than through this descending mercy. So here's the little story. In his elder years, Ralph Waldo Emerson was living on a farm with his elder, son. He was quite elderly, and his son was, a married man. So one evening they were trying to get the cows back in the barn. And everyone, one cow goes and they all follow. That's kind of the system. But one young heifer wouldn't go. I'm not going. And so they tried different things. They tried from the back end, tried pushing. Wouldn't go. Not going. They got a rope and tied the rope around the neck and pulled and not going. They pushed and pulled and the heifer wasn't going in. And a working lady came by and smiled, saw what they were doing, caught their eye, held her finger up in the air like this, and went over to a bowl that had salt, got some water on her finger, put the finger in the bowl with salt, held her finger up in the air, went in front of the calf or the heifer, and held it just beyond the reach of his tongue. And his tongue went out. And she moved her finger and moved her finger and moved her finger and went into the barn. The message is, if you want the mind to go to Krishna, this carefully chanting, attraction to Krishna is going to be more effective than pushing the mind. I'll leave it up to you to apply that. Carefully chanting is becoming attracted. We have to make an effort. The effort is become attracted to Krishna. Bhajana Kriya. Take care of the distraction. So that's it for this morning. See if there's some discussion. Somebody can hit the lights. Comments or questions? Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You had mentioned earlier from Sachinanda Maharaj's discussion on ways to carefully chant. You'd mentioned five things. Yojana.
Yeah. You want to see the slide?
Right.
Okay.
Yojana, Sambandha, Seva, Vipralamba, and some Sharanagati.
Yeah.
And so, could you explain a little bit more about what he means by yojana, or alignment of the body,
yeah,
mind, and heart?
Sure. It's one of his major topics. Something he shared with me several years ago. He was, I don't know what stage it's in now, but he was planning an institute that would have these five things. And for people of the world, not for Hare Krishna devotees, just anybody out there. And so alignment of body, mind, and heart, there recently in colleges, I've made a presentation, takes about an hour and a half, on this one topic. So there's recordings of that. You can go look at the recordings or hear Sachinanda Swami speak about it. I'm sure there's recordings. But it's three elements. The goal is the soul consciousness connected to Krishna. So there, it helps if there's alignment. The illustration is not here, but there's three gates picture in your mind. There's a king's palace, and inside the palace there's the king's treasury. But to get to the king's treasury, there's three gates. And the gates, if they're aligned and they're open, the first one is the body, alignment to the goal. The second one is the mind, alignment to the goal. And the third one is the heart, aligned to the goal. And then you can get the treasury. The treasury for us is Shuddhanam. That's the treasury. So body has to do with posture. One teenager I know was struggling. Sometimes it happens. And something that I noticed about this teenager was their posture was terrible. They sat like a bag of potatoes. So I just made a suggestion. Why don't you try, sit properly. You know that one. Nayana Baram told me when Prabhupada made that sit properly, it was him that he was speaking to, because he was seated next to the altar. They were all chanting japa in a room, and he was sitting there like a bag of potatoes. And Prabhupada said, sit properly. So that's a alignment of the body. It's seating. But it's also another thing that the body does is pronounce and hear. That's part of the alignment message. That's a body thing. Not just sit straight, but, the other parts of what the body does. Pronounce clearly. Hear carefully. So then mind. Then so how do you orient the mind where there's alignment? And there's so that's a whole topic. And that's, we struggle more with that one. But, the body will help you with the mind. Or the reverse. If the body isn't properly aligned, it's hard to get the mind in order. So where the mind goes has a lot to do with intention. So if you want your mind to be aligned to Shuddhanam, you have to be clear why, and then how, and then you make effort, you cultivate. The mind goes to Krishna. Rabindra Sarup Prabhu. I'm just giving little things. It's a bit large topic. He's funny. He said, when you're chanting, it's really simple. There's three things. There's the name. There's the sound of Krishna. There's Krishna, and there's the mind. And all you have to do is have the mind go to Krishna, the sound. And it's a challenge, because the mind is wandering and distracted, etc. But that's the alignment of the mind topic. And then the heart. That's a delicate item, which is, in many cases, the heart and the mind, just like cheto darpana marjanam, we cleanse the mirror of the mind and cleanse the heart. We kind of use those terms interchangeably, the mind and the heart. So it's not a totally separate matter. I can share with you, It's toward the end of this presentation, how Sachinandan Swami in this PDF distinguishes mind and heart. But it's what's deeply meaningful to you, and the feelings connect with those, that which is deeply meaningful to you. There's material feelings, and then there's spiritual feelings. So aligning the heart with the treasure, Shuddhanam, not just mechanical, but the Shuddhanam. Yes. Could you take it? Just stand up and walk it back. Stay with the microphone, if you would. The next person, you can.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Serve the Vaishnavas.
So, you are talking about enthusiasm is a essential thing for maintaining bhakti.
Yes.
So, and after that you are mentioning that in order to maintain the enthusiasm, you have to keep associate with the devotees who are enthusiastic and carry that enthusiasm wherever you
go. But not you have to. That strengthens enthusiasm. Supposing somebody's off in Timbuktu, they can be enthusiastic.
I'm curious to know more about carrying the enthusiasm what I receive.
About what?
I'm curious to know about the techniques or practical application of carrying the enthusiasm that I receive from...
You're speaking really fast. Okay. You're interested in understanding more about...
More about carrying the enthusiasm.
Carrying enthusiasm.
Yes.
Sustaining enthusiasm.
Yes, Maharaj.
You're interested.
What?
You wanted what? He's controlling the... So, okay, go ahead. Keep.
I would like to know more about how do I carry the enthusiasm.
How to carry the enthusiasm. Okay. Here's a really important one. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is not possible to sustain or carry enthusiasm without a spiritual conception. Say it negatively. Enthusiasm without a spiritual conception is passion. Ra ra ra. Ra ra ra. So the spiritual conception sustains. Second, shelter. Palpable, experiential shelter. Then you can sustain or carry. So shelter ultimately is Krishna. And then there are those that are representing Krishna in various features of representing Krishna. Bhagavatam is filled with those teachings. It doesn't have to be your Diksha Guru. It's the representatives of Krishna in various ways that can help the Krishna connection shelter. Like, here's a for example. Vibhuti Yoga, chapter 10. Ways of always remembering Krishna. So take it seriously. It's Krishna speaking to Arjuna, who's actually speaking to us, ways to always remember Krishna. So ways in your life, always remember Krishna. That shelter is there. Through sound. And bring the sound in. Then there's shelter. So where there's shelter, you can sustain. But it requires a spiritual conception, because otherwise we're going to see all those opulences of Krishna some other way. So, sound.
Got it. Thank you, Maharaj.
And sound where the heart's open. Yes.
Thank you so much. Maharaj, you know, many times we hear that serve the holy name or chant in the mood of service. So can you please explain how to serve the holy name?
It starts with your very act of making the sound. It starts there. And then it expands to everything else that you do. So when you're chanting, you're making the sound. We're going to be lots of chanting, kirtan and many chanting opportunities. Experiment or apply yourself or cultivate the mood of Krishna in his fullness, because the sound in Krishna, that serving Krishna through the medium of the sound of his name. So what does it feel like? You have to do it so you know what it feels like. How do you do it? You try to do it. Under the instruction to try to do it. It's natural. And the other is diseased. Like, we're rebellious. Who wants to be a servant? This is me speaking. My observation is, many people join the Hare Krishna movement with their mind. and then the mirror changes and something happens. The mind goes, and their connection with Krishna consciousness weakens. Let's go deeper. Where you really want your relationship with Krishna in a deeper level than, you know, I don't like to suffer, or I want to know, you know, those four types of pious people. It has to become something deeper. Your relationship with Krishna has to become like your mission, your life. That self-realization is Krishna realization, and it's the medium of bhakti. So the doorway to get there is the name. So serve the name. There's an instruction to do so. So you cultivate it. And by cultivation, that which is already natural awakens. That's this systematic hearing that's like gardening. Within a seed, there's life. But it's dormant because it's in a seed stage. The seed awakens through the watering process, the sprouting process, and the careful, systematic nurturing process. So the systematic nurturing is not just the behavior, but the mood behind the behavior, the mood of service behind the behavior. We enter into it, cultivate it, in the mood that Krishna is to be pleased, not you or me, the chanter. Krishna is to be pleased. That's the service. Krishna is to be pleased. Like kirtan, a teenager. Badahari will like to hear this. A teenager in the Hare Krishna movement recently said, I really want to learn mridanga. I want to become more proficient in mridanga. But I know that that's the shadow, and the substance is that Krishna is to be pleased. So I want to go beyond the shadow and enter into the substance. Develop skill in such a way with the meditation, the cultivation, that Krishna is to be pleased. The mood of service. Krishna's pleasure is everything. That's Krishna consciousness. And the medium for us, primary, is the name. There's the instruction to do so, we cultivate. And it's natural, it's already there. Okay? I see some hands. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your wonderful mercy. I just feel very lucky, and I can experience Krishna's love just being here in this atmosphere and hearing from you. In the context of your conversation with the Jehovah's Witnesses,
yes.
You mentioned right after, you said, bhakti is a way of life, something that's deeply seated within the core of one's being, something that's non-circumstantial, like the bottom of
yes.
an iceberg, and that really resonated with me. Could you speak a little more to that, if you don't mind?
Yeah, compliments to the devotees in the audience. You're good listeners. I have experience where audiences are not such good listeners. And it's okay. But, you know, compliments to this audience. So, it's a way of life. It's not circumstantial. That's what you want to hear more about? I'll do it this way. There's many ways. You know the iceberg metaphor? The tip of the iceberg is observable things. You know, what you see, the iceberg. So behaviors, norms, conduct, you know, things that parents like to teach children. Say please and thank you. Stuff like that. And then below that, there's a whole lot more iceberg. That's values. Like, not just say please, thank you, but feelings of gratitude. And when feelings of gratitude are there, the behavior is going to be there. There's something that I value respecting others. And so the behaviors and speech reflect what's it below that tip of the iceberg. And then it goes deeper. This is now those people who are cultural engineers. This is taken from corporate stuff. It's not just your mission statement or our family has these values so we do these behaviors or something like that. There's unchangeable truths of life. Unchallengeable, non-circumstantial. Life undergoes some change. This young boy, I remember when he was just a little baby. Now he's, running around. affectionate to mom and dad, and the body is changing, so what's important is changing, and then that's going to change, and that's going to change. But there's something that's unchanged. When there are things that are unchanging, the values can move down to something that's unchanged, because it's actually already there. Then it's a way of life. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter what country you're in, doesn't matter anything. It's unchanging, fixed, given. It moves when those things move down, because it's already there. So like what's really important to you, not circumstantial important, deep inside. No, we're too busy being successful to ask that question. But it's such an important question. And it can, when you discover it, when you keep massaging it, keep refining it, keep exploring it, keep asking it, and it becomes deeper and deeper, then it doesn't matter. It's like Bhagavad Gita. When that happiness is there, nothing can affect you. The good fortune, ill fortune, the dualities of life can't touch you. They're still there. It's hot and humid in Houston. It was cold in Washington, D.C. You can't change. There's some things you can't change. What's unchanging? I remember asking that question as a college kid. I didn't know the answer. Fortunately, I knew I didn't know the answer. I didn't think I already know. That's an obstacle, thinking that you already know. But we all think we already know. But I knew that I didn't know, and I want to know. It's a journey. And then it becomes a way of life. It's not just a journey. Not created by circumstance. Ahaitukhi pratyataya yatma supersedati. That supersedati is Bhagavad Gita's message. It's a happiness within that you can... Krishna will give you the intelligence how to deal with duality, because that's what's out there. And it's sometimes this and sometimes that, and it's unpredictable. When predictable, it's always going to change. And sometimes this and sometimes that. A way of life. Bhakti. Krishna is everything. Not just check the box that I get an A in my exam. I passed my Bhakti Shastra degree. Something that's personal. That's a way of life. It may start with theory, but it has to become personal. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
I see a hand up front, and then one more over here, and we're going to end. These last two.
Thank you. In the slides for last night, I read that Mayavadi, chanting the name won't actually... Krishna's not there.
Krishna's not
saying,
there.
Hare Krishna.
The syllables are there. Krishna's not there.
And that reminded me of Lord Chaitanya said in the Shikshastakam that we should be more tolerant than a tree.
Yeah.
But I remember a pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just like completely avoiding hearing a Mayavadi speaking and just like...
Yeah, he did.
Preventing that. And so is there like a difference between like the... tolerance that we should have? Is it like
is there a difference between what and what?
Is there a
tolerance
difference between like the tolerance that we should have, like
tolerance
towards,
is the word?
Like offenses,
tolerance?
Yes, tolerance,
yeah.
To offenses, to like our false ego and stuff like that, or is there like a tolerance to like stopping the propagation of the holy name?
Well, it sounds like you're asking, is there spiritual intolerance and material tolerance, and what's the distinction? Is that what you're asking?
I'm asking, like, how we should be tolerant like a tree. Is there, like, a difference? Is that, like, should we not tolerate the stopping of propagation of Krishna consciousness? Well,
this is a matter of, if I understood your question correctly, and I'm not sure I have, There's this important factor of intelligence or discretion or discernment, discrimination between in this situation this is appropriate and that situation that is appropriate. In some cases, speak strongly. In some cases, you don't. You just tolerate in that sense. But speak strongly doesn't mean intolerance. Or go out and, you know, neither of those two extremes. Just go out and spread Krishna consciousness. And some people are going to laugh and some people are going to love you. But we the conviction is, Prabhupada's words, we're creating an atmosphere of auspiciousness for the whole society, all living entities, by doing this. And not just in the temple room, but out there. Both in here and out there. So how you gauge somebody that says something negative and how you respond to that is a time, place, circumstance, discrimination matter. There's some nice stories, but because of time, I'm not going to tell them. I'll tell one. Trivikram Swami. Henry Street, Brooklyn Temple, hot summer, New York, in July, 1971, I think. Class is over. Trivikram Swami not only raised his hand, but he stood up. Is the first question. Prabhupada, right over there, there's a schoolyard. Because right, we're on a corner, and over there is another corner, and there's a schoolyard. And when we come back from Harinam, the kids line up, because it was during their lunch break, because we came back for lunch. And they taunt and tease. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada, isn't that offensive? And Prabhupada's reply, no, that's very good. Because they're chanting Hare Krishna. Very good. It's not Shuddha Nam. It's Namabhas. It's right in the Bhagavatam. There's a certain category with, you know, musical and laughter. So fast forward in time, that was 1971. I don't know, I don't remember the year. 20 years later, I'm walking through an airport and waiting for, it was in Detroit, it was waiting for a connection, Northwest Airlines, blah, blah, blah. And down the corridor came a whole group of employees of Northwest. And I was just standing there waiting for the flight to board. And they were kind of noisy and da-da-da-da. And then one of them stopped in his tracks and looked at me like he saw a ghost. And he told his friends, I'll catch up with you. Go ahead. So he said, came right up to me and said, are you a Hare Krishna? I said, yeah. He said, oh, no. I said, what do you mean, oh, no? He said, I used to live in Brooklyn, right near the temple. And I said, I lived in the temple. He said, oh, no. Every day when you came back, you would chant Hare Krishna, and we'd come to the fence around the in the gate and laugh at you. He said, I remember. He said, not only that, you left your cars in the street. We go and burn the cars because we wanted the parking spaces. It was an intense neighborhood. And we throw rocks through the windows if you chanted too loudly. We were bad. But you people were always so gentle. You fed people. You were so kind and so tolerant. We did that when we were little, and I've always felt so badly. And then just today, he said, that melody, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's always been in my mind. I can't get it out of my mind. So I started just with my friends. I just came out, you know, Hare Krishna. And they started laughing at me like we used to laugh at you. And then I saw you. I feel so badly for what we used to do. Please forgive me. He said, no problem. Just see what that experience was. Although you were laughing and this thing and that thing, that has stayed with you for all this time. And then he concluded saying, keep up the good work. And I said, your Krishna speaking through you. Let us keep up the good work. Propagate. You know, it's not a nice, it has its pejorative sense. Propagate. Hey, man, you know, let me have my own choices. We propagate. We give people the opportunity. They can say no. They can laugh. But we want to create an atmosphere of auspiciousness in our lives and in the world around us. That's what we do. Last question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. If one is a very naturally passionate person, for material goals,
and
especially those material goals which are beyond his or her natural capacity, to get to Shuddha Nam, I assume that one has to adjust that side, the material passionate side, to approach the Shuddha Nam. That's my question.
Well, it's not exactly I modify the language, if I may. It's not like we can do that, but Krishna can do that. So the horse is Bhajana Kriya, and the cart is Anarjana Vritti. We have to be aware of what the anartas are, but you also have to act according to your nature. So you connect that nature to pleasing Krishna, like Arjuna. Or somebody else that has, let's say they have an entrepreneurial sense, they're not a Kshatriya, they're a Vaishya, and they, you know, they have an entrepreneurial sense. Pleasing Krishna, please. Carefully chanting, please. I want to go beyond this. What I understand according to Bhagavad Gita implicates me in bondage and suffering. Kamesha Krodesha Rajoguna Samudbhava. I know the Bhagavad Gita, but I have my nature. So let me overcome that nature through directing those activities for the pleasure of Krishna and striving to chant the holy name purely. Let me be guided by scripture and internally make my heart pure. And until then, it's going to be a mix. It's this pratak bhava. It's the separatist. Krishna's interest is not entirely my interest. There's mixed devotion. And so I'm going to have to suffer because it's mixed devotion. But I want to get to Shuddha. If you don't want to get to Shuddha, you won't get there. If you want to get to Shuddha, it may take some time, but you'll get there because Krishna will help you get there. Okay, thank you very much, Prabhupada. Keep.